With all the stories that matter across the Northwest, it's Greg Hughes on the 9 to Noon Show on Highland Radio.
Very welcome back to the programme. Thank you so much to all of you for listening and sticking with us. And not just today, but all year round. As you would know, yesterday, the latest radio listenership figures, they're independently compiled. It's a survey of close on 20,000 people across the country to determine what stations that people listen to. And year on year, it's been fantastic for this show and the station as a whole, by the way. We've, between the hours of 9 and 10, an extra 4 people tuning in, an extra 3,000 between 10 and 11. Up, it's static or up 1,000 down, 1,000, 11 till 12, but still fantastic to be maintaining listenership and all hours really, really healthy. So thank you so much to all of you for choosing to tune in to us here on the 9 till noon show and across the station. To here on Highland Radio. 6 out of 10 of you really tune into Highland Radio at the start of the day and stay tuned throughout the whole of the day. Half of you only listen to Highland Radio. You don't listen to any other radio station. So we really do appreciate all of your support and all of your engagement. And if you think there's things that we could do to improve, always happy to hear that too. 08660 25000. But it's very much appreciated. And it's never taken for granted either, by the way, because without you guys listening and supporting the station, a lot of people go, oh, it's great, we have Highland. And that's brilliant if that's how you feel, as many do. But we have you too. And if we didn't have you, there'd be no Highland Radio because of the funding model of media in Ireland. We need to be popular, we need to be able to sell ads, and we need to be able to stay on air. And thanks to your support and dedication, we're able to do all of that as well and keep doing it. So thank you very much indeed, especially if you maybe led on to a friend that you listened and they've started listening and have become adoptees or adoptees. We're very much appreciative of that. Now, Seamus Gunn's going to be joining me in about 6 or 7 minutes, and we might have a quick chat about the situation in the US. Seamus is very much interested, of course, in all things politics over there, but also we're answering your legal questions. So get them into us right now. To get your best chance of getting it answered, 086 60 25000. But I do want to catch up on some of the comments this morning. Incredibly busy on the phone lines. Again, not every radio station enjoys that. We've never had to make up a caller. We've never had to make up a comment. They're all genuine people that engage with us. Other stations actually have to do that, believe it or not. What are the views of the panel on the front page of the Tyrconnell Tribune, as both Eamon and Cathy would be seen as having woke views? Okay, didn't get to that. They voted Donald Trump because he actually cares about America. He didn't even take the presidential salary last term. Did any other president of America ever do that? Not that the salary is all that. There's people working in the HSC on more than at the higher echelons of the HSC that earn more than Donald Trump. So earn more than the president of America. I'm not degrading what he did. I'm just stating such is the income for that job. If we continue to bring in thousands of refugees / asylum seekers, then we will continue to have a health crisis and a housing crisis. It isn't rocket science. But what do we do when 40% of the of those that work in our healthcare system, at least 40%, are people who've moved to this country from other countries? You know, what do we say to them? It's all right, you stay because you're looking after us, but no one else can come in. That's just a question, not a statement. Trump is a billionaire who got elected because he can resonate with the commoner. You cannot have parties consistently taking from those people and tell them it's for protecting the country and allowing more non-educated migrants in. We don't know the educational status of people coming in, but I expect, I understand where you're coming from. But we can't continue to take in migrants and expect no backlash. Media hate him, other countries elected and unelected hate him, therefore he must be good. Anti-establishment, isn't he? Greg, unless you get the young people out to vote, you're looking at another low turnout for election 24. Unfortunately, a lot of young people have absolutely no interest in politics. I remember asking people at work if they were going to vote, and some of them in their mid-20s and early 30 had never ever voted and had no intention of doing so either. Unless you could vote via Snapchat or TikTok, the young vote will not be seen. Probably the government parties have very little interest either in encouraging the young vote, as they might not follow the traditional party line of their parents. It might be interesting, Caroline, to maybe to establish a panel of younger people, you know, 18 to 25s, and not necessarily involved in party politics, just to understand what their concerns are, why they may vote, why they might not vote. So we might do that over the next 3 weeks. As I say, it's not a debate on who should be elected, but a conversation about what's important to young people and why they may or may not be motivated to vote. If planning is the problem, again, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have failed to reform planning laws. That comes in from Martin. The country is a disgrace. I'm a school cleaner. I can't even get enough hours to clean the school. Money's pumped into the hot meals for schools and the children won't even eat the meals. More money should be put into cleaners for schools. Another, even though Trump and Musk are billionaires, they had to work hard to get there. They didn't get their success by lying on their backsides. Being a billionaire shouldn't be a criticism, as it takes work. You have to remember that both these men employ thousands of people contributing to the economy. Elon Musk, self-made billionaire. Donald Trump would have inherited much of his income, I think. Oshin says, Taylor Swift, etc. could not feed Kamala to young people. The likes of Musk, etc. could feed algorithms to young men. That's where the election was won, including Harris being a bad candidate. And as well as that, Oshin, too, Donald Trump did the podcast circuit. He spoke to a lot of YouTubers, TikTokers. It didn't get much coverage in the mainstream media because they wouldn't want to sort of maybe over-amplify the influence those types of podcasts could have. He did 3 hours in the Joe Rogan podcast, the biggest podcast in the world. He sat for 3 hours. Kamala Harris was offered a slot on it, and she declined. Well, she accepted, but it was based on Rogan travelling to visit her and to do an hour. He said, look, you can have 3 hours. We'll just have a chat. It's not even a debate, but you have to come to Texas where I record my podcast. That didn't happen. I'd say they would regret that because Donald Trump was reaching young men through those platforms. He aligned himself to with Dana White. He's the guy that created and is the face of the UFC, massive amongst young men and women, but mostly young men. And those are the people that came out to vote. When you look at the money being squandered on bike sheds, etc., and the wastage in the HSE and the delays, waiting times for children's mental health, you have to ask who's in charge of these departments and deciding where all this money is wasted. Someone needs to be sacked. Donald Trump said, I'm not advocating for Donald Trump, right, but there's a lot of anti-Trump sentiment, and I just want I want all voices to be heard in this show. But that caller says, just read the last bit of it here. They say that someone needs to be sacked. In the run-up to the election, Donald Trump, at one of his rallies, he's been very critical of how America withdrew out of Afghanistan. They left billions of euro of equipment over there. In fact, there's some videos of farmers getting into helicopters and trying to fly them and perishing when they crashed the helicopters. But they left a ton of stuff over there. And he has said to the people who were in charge of that decision within the army that he wants them to resign before inauguration day or he'll sack them. And he stated, as that caller says there, no one gets fired in this country. And that's the type of message that resonates with people out there today who are frustrated. Morning, Greg. When I was growing up, I heard an old phrase, the majority of people are stupid. Has America proven this? Tongue-in-cheek comment. People who are forced to vote would simply spoil their vote. The right to vote or not is a fundamental civil right, says a listener. Yet more on your views as to whether voting should be compulsory. Watch The Apprentice. See Trump as he is, a rapist who turned a blind eye to drug use, orgies, blackmail and fraudists. A real hypocrite. He should be behind bars, not too powerful, not that powerful desk in the White House. If all some of that's true, maybe not all of it's true. The public didn't care. They ignored that because they wanted him to deliver the policies he's promised. Whether that's right or wrong, it is a fact. My problem with the not voting is a vote argument is what are you saying other than not at all? No to all. How does that inform the political body on what you want to engage with or help progress anyone towards your own ideas? Yeah, I agree with you. And I think we referenced this a little earlier in the week, and it was, a point along those lines was made, because how do you know, say 40% of people don't vote, what of that 40%, how many is it that couldn't be bothered? How many is it that don't engage? How many is it that are disenfranchised and it's a protest? We don't know. And I suppose we would have a better sense of that if voting was compulsory. None of the panel have mentioned Trump's plan to stop the war in the Middle East and Ukraine. He's the only president who didn't start any wars while in office. Joe Biden is funding the war in Israel. Just to be clear, Trump's effectively said Israel can go and finish the job. And he has also indicated that Ukraine will have to concede Crimea and the Donbass region to Russia in order for that war to end as well. So if you're okay with that, then you're okay with Trump's policies. Laborers also need to be blamed for the housing crisis, as they're charging extortionate prices. They're too expensive to pay, along with plumbers and electricians. You would need a mortgage to pay them. It's not entirely the government's fault. I think Katie should go for local council. She's a very good speaker and a woman, along with campaigning for disability rights. I wouldn't trust the national polls or the mainstream media in anything they say about Sinn Féin's support amongst the Irish people. I think they're running scared of them and, as usual, just throwing mud at them, hoping some of it will stick before the election time. I don't disagree with you, but I've spoken to effectively the top two people in Sinn Féin, you could argue. Certainly the top person in Mary Lou MacDonald, and also Piers Doherty. And both of them conceded that they got things wrong, and they had to make their messaging more clear and what have you. So they themselves obviously looked at the polls and took note of them. But listen, there's no doubt, I think they're... I think there's a strong argument that there is a media bias against Sinn Féin nationally. What gives a man a right to call Trump an idiot? You can't call people's names. People should stop the name throwing just because they don't agree. Another, maybe if the Democratic Party showed more moral courage in dealing with Israel and Russia, they would have fared better. Foreign policy wasn't that big a deal for the voters in America. The exit polls showed the economy and democracy is the big two. More Gardaí on the streets is one thing that could be done to try and make people feel safer. There's actually a few on that in relation to resilience amongst our young people and crime. I'm going to come back to that in a moment, but I do really want your views on that. A lot of kids are refusing to go to school. I did, to be honest with you. I couldn't face going in. I would have been classed as one of those children. They couldn't get me into the car, and when I got to the school, they couldn't get me out of the car. I just was not going into school, and it was rooted in my terrible anxiety I had at that time, and you couldn't really talk about it either because there was no real words for it. But I couldn't get in the car, and if I got in the car, I couldn't get in the car, out of the car, and go to school. Then I went to work and built my confidence and resilience that way. But the conversation is more and more children are refusing to go into school. And also, as I say, I've been speaking to people in industry who are concerned that children are coming out of school, turning into young adults, coming out of college without resilience, that they may be struggling in what can be a tough working environment. And it is potentially a recruitment issue. So I'm just asking, and we can continue the conversation over the course of the next while, you know, what are we doing wrong? Should we be doing more? Do we need to how do we boost young person's resilience, because they are going to go into the tough old world that is the world. Now, delighted to welcome back onto the show Seamus Gunn of McLaughlin Gunn and Co. Remelton and Letterkenny. Great to see you again, Seamus.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And we've loads of legal questions in, and we'll get to them in a moment. But of course, me and you have talked quite a bit in the past about the US political situation. So many people will be interested in your reaction, I suppose, to the events of the last few days.
Yeah. And there has been a lot of reaction, I have to say that. And the old Chinese proverb, Greg, may you live in interesting times. It's really now coming to pass. Firstly, I think polls are interesting as to how far wrong they are. That might give some encouragement to some parties and people going into, as our 33rd Dáil dissolves today, maybe it might give some good positive thoughts on that, saying that polls are not and have not always been right or anywhere near right. And in this situation, they've been well off kilter. I don't think we're completely finished the counting yet, but it's a vast sea of red out there. And more, and I think there's maybe more two states to follow in the coming days, and it's going to get up to 320 or thereabouts. It seems like that sort of them or 312, them type of figures. So it's kind of unbelievable, the comeback. But then if you look at it, what did it come down to? And if you pare it down, it's very interesting, because we had the economy and immigration. And these are just the two net points that I could see in it. Economy and immigration versus women's rights. And then on top of that, you had democracy. Now, democracy seemed to come in a poor fourth because actually, on the democracy point, the two of them were split 50-50. While everybody was making the point, the Democrats were making the point that they were standing for democracy. Well, it seems that the Republicans are every bit as democratic and maybe even more so with the result. Then now they have also got the personal vote, the majority in that as well, which is a significant. They have won all the seven swing states. Well, they lost six of them the last time round, 6-1. So again, that's a vast sea change. But it came down to very simple and nearly sound bites. You have a guy who has got great popular appeal, no doubt about that at all, like it or not, that's the reality. And he said he was able to touch a chord with the people and with the people who needed, actually, and who were once big supporters of Democrats. And he won them over. And then the point about the abortion too, he even muddied the waters in that there was only a couple of percentage points of a difference there on that particular issue alone. Well, that was one of the slam dunk issues for the Democrats and Harris. Didn't come off. Democracy, as I said, was a 50-50 split. But then we get to the economy. And sure, people were angry. They were upset. They wanted to get the incumbent. 70% plus that were angry voted for Trump. And every day anyone went into a shop. Sure, he was advertised there and then. How better off were you when you were with me? The prices were in front of them. You know, it was an easy sell, that, but he understood it. And sure, he's handing out burgers and McDonald's. Sure, everybody loves him. You know, the young people drawing them in. And then he had Elon Musk. So he has all that. He's the social media thing, more or less, I wouldn't say wrapped up, but look at the influence that can garner. And the way that it can go and bring in votes. And what's also very telling is this, because you watched this as much as I probably did as an observer, and I thought it was fascinating. All that through, or towards the end of last week, beginning of this week, all the pundits were saying, oh, it's far too close to call. Nobody would actually put their neck on the line and call it. And actually, they were saying one day, oh, it's going, it looks like Trump is back, coming up out in the ascendancy. But then when we were getting near the day itself, D-Day, Tuesday, they were talking up Harris, and they were looking at the cues. And this is interesting. They were interpreting the cues.
The only thing in relation to that, what I noticed, and it talks to the division in politics, is how it was being spun. I couldn't determine what was happening and what was truthful, because you've got biased news networks, right, which will argue black is blue. And vice versa. But then also on social media, you had Democrats and Republicans spinning everything in their direction to the point whereby, you know, a fact meant two things. Yeah. So I was taking in mainstream media, I was taking in social media. I thought it was going to be actually wide, and I did say that last week. I didn't think the American people would sort of see past a lot of the baggage Donald Trump has in the number that they did. But it just goes to show clear, understandable messages on day-to-day stuff. That's what resonates with people.
Yes, yeah. And there were the sound bites that did work and worked tremendously well with the economy. But the counter, though, from Harris, she never came to terms with that, never really was able to explain it. Like Trump comes out with no tax on tips in Las Vegas of all times, you know. Like, and although that we're talking about a percentage of the economy in the working economy of maybe less than 2% that would affect, but what does Harris do? She copies it. That's all she can do. Say, I'll do the same. Be interesting to see when he bring that in. You know, when he said he'll end the war in Ukraine before he's inaugurated and stuff like that. These promises that are made and thrown out there. It'll be interesting to see, are they brought home? And, you know, it's very unlikely that a lot of them will. Even that one tax on tips. If he does that, sure, everyone's going to be looking for concessions on overtime and any people in the service industries. So that's the knock-on to that. It costs billions when they look at it. But it was a very good soundbite. And it had young people who were working, going through college, part-time jobs. Oh, no tax on our tips. So this guy's great. And then lastly, he had the other big card. And like it again or not, it fell this way. Immigration was the other one that was his key. You had economy and immigration. And again, the emigration motivated people, again, like it or not, but they had a view on it.
Yes, but in relation to that,
But
the criticism, the criticisms the Democrats were laying at him, misogynistic and racist, right? Women voted in huge numbers for Donald Trump's Donald Trump. Latinos voted in huge numbers for Donald Trump. He won all of these demographics. Latinos, Mexicans, voted for Donald Trump. So this misogynistic, racist labelling didn't stick, because the very people that apparently he's misogynistic against or racist against voted for him, because my immigration is nuanced, right? There's immigration that's where people come in and they contribute to society and they want to better their lives. And then there is people that come in for other reasons. We don't know the backgrounds. They're not vetted, all this type of stuff. And he was able to articulate that to win the votes as he did.
Yes, articulated very simply as well, Greg. And that's, I think, what you've touched on, you know, is this, it's the simplicity of it. Like, he was able to throw out, well, since in the last 4 years, I can't back this up, 40 million crossing the southern border, for example. Now, like, the Democrats only this year tried to pass a bill, and he actually, or it was the Republicans who stopped it to try to curtail that. But now, which now the Republicans may actually pass. But he was able to say, well, there's 40 million have come in. And like, the stuff that he was coming out with was absolutely bizarre. But them type of figures being pushed out there for people, and the Democrats not being able to contrast the argument in a simple, articulate way at all times, that resonated very
just before we get on to questions.
With the states.
And it
captured the young people.
Yeah, I agree with you in relation to that. And in case people listening go, oh, well, it's easy to say that now, Greg. For as long as I've been sitting in this chair, I've talked about the importance of messaging and the importance of topics that people feel can be changed reasonably quickly being so important. And that's why I think if the next 3 weeks the conversation is about housing, I think the public are going to become disenfranchised with that very quickly, because in this country the problem with housing is manifold. You can promise houses to you in the face, but how do you deliver? What are you going to invest on the infrastructure? Where are you going to find the workforce? And all of this type of stuff. And that's why this is going to be probably, if that's the focus, and on health as well, because people don't see how these problems can be fixed in the short term. It's going to be quite a bland campaign.
Yeah, well, I see. But in America, that could have a knock-on effect, because if Trump gets his way and people are all undocumented are deported, he's going to be short a labour force, a very, very large labour force over in the USA. There's just no doubt about that. Here, we're going again.
He can say then, come to America, but have your documents in order. Come to America, come and work. We've got loads of work for you, but have your documents in order. Right, we want to know who you are, so we need to get you out. We can get you out. So that's, the Democrats don't mention that he might try and put in place he understands, I think, that migrants are required. He put a system in place whereby it's tracked, that people know who's coming into their communities.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what the bill that the Democrats were trying to bring in earlier in the year,
that's
and which
true.
The Republicans actually stopped.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Which will now be brought in, but that's the point that's being made.
Yeah,
but
interestingly,
you say, well, come to America and be documented, but don't import into America your goods. Now, the reality here, you mentioned in Ireland, and somebody's got it somewhere along the line, maybe this weekend or going into the election, it'll dawn on people that if there's a 20% tariff, we're the third biggest exporter into the USA from Europe. If there's a 20% tariff placed on Irish goods going into the USA, think of the significance that would have.
Yeah, of course, but you reap what you sow. Look at the tariffs the EU is putting on China to keep the electric cars out of the European market. This is part of that.
Yeah, but let's deal with we're dealing with the USA here. We are trying, if he gets his way and brings the corporation tax level right down to a level of around 15%, similar to our own, and then the multinationals, which are more than our bread and butter, they keep the lights on in this country. They're the biggest payer to the exchequer. And they see, well, they can get this the same rates at home, and the drawback, the pull back there, and the benefits that will be to the US economy. You know, he is a businessman.
Yeah, but we have an excellent workforce here. A lot of these businesses want one foot in Europe. It's colder here for the data centers. You know, I mean, I get where you're coming from, but we're not only doing well in this country because of corporation tax. A lot of that now, the double tax and all this kind of stuff, has been eliminated. The playing field is level. And despite government warnings, we're still raking in the corporation tax. Anyway, Seamus, sorry, I need to take.
Yeah, it mightn't be level. It mightn't be level forever. That's the point.
I get you.
And then there's this invitation: come back home, and what incentives will they be given? It's just worth watching. And as we go into an election, we'll see what way the gurus here, what they think of that.
Very fascinating. Questions to Seamus. Your questions after these. Okay, we're in the company of Seamus Gunn of McLaughlin Gunn and Co, Remelton and Letterkenny. Seamus, if someone has been gifted a site from the parents and then decide to sell it after a number of years, is there any capital gains tax implications?
Well, yes, there could be. There could be. They haven't given the particular year. I think the reference year is about 74, 75 in relation to CGT and applying a multiplier up to around the early maybe 2000s or so. That means that the value of the site would be inflated upwards to somewhere around the modern day value. And then that would be the price that would be taken for the purpose of working out whether there's a CGT implication. My view, though, is that on the face of it, it could and is likely to give rise to an assessment if there is a gain. But there are certain items can be deducted if there was money spent on it, if it was partially developed, other expenses that were incurred in the acquisition of it. And they can all be deducted. But in simple terms, and to keep it simple for the caller, if they got the site and it was valued at 20,000, just let's say for the sake of it, and then they're selling it now for 40,000. And let's say that there's other maybe 5,000 odd of expenses. Well, then their value at 15,000 against their 40 will leave a gain, that gain would be taxable, and the tax rate would be 33%. So it's whatever would be the net difference. 20-40. If there's a 20 gain, it would come in. If it was a 20,000 gain on paper, it would be 33% of that. But as I say, there's some allowable expenses against it, but they would probably likely have to make a return in that tax year in respect of it.
I'm in a rented house for 16 years. How much notice would the owner have to give me to move out, please?
I think that these type of situations have changed since, I think it's about 2022, where the time I'm subject to correction on that, but the Residential Tenancy Board would be able to clarify it for them. But if it's over 8 years, I think that then they're going to be in the region of 100. I think it's somewhere in the region of 24 days. It comes in at maybe 32 odd weeks or so. That's the top tier. It goes from 6 months right up to that. And there are specific periods of time that have to be given notice. But over 8 years, then I think it's around the 224 days or thereabouts that they have to be given notice before the termination notice would then expire. So and then there's other certain circumstances that would have to be looked at. And it is useful if they did visit the RTB site, because it gives you the circumstances in which tenancies can be terminated, like the owner selling on or maybe redeveloping, and it's situations that do arise and are common enough that would give rise to the owner's determination maybe to make a decision to decide to sell it. But certain circumstances would probably have to be looked at as well. But it's somewhere around that, I think over 8 years, I think it's around the 224 days or so.
Could you ask Seamus, please, a couple have split up. They've got four children. They had agreed 50-50 with the children, but the mother keeps changing when the dad can have the children. What, if anything, can be done till it gets to the courts? The children are young, 10, 9, 6 and 2. The older ones want to be with their dad. So I think this is about access. So having sharing access to the children, yes. But apparently mother keeps changing the goalposts on that, and it's not in court yet.
It's these type of things, Greg, have come up before on your show, and we have dealt with them, and we try to understand both sides of it. I think that if people can sort of step back and consider that it'll be the welfare of the children that'll be paramount whenever any decisions are being made. And when decisions are being made by couples, partners or whatever in relation to children, I think if they keep that principle in mind, that is the welfare of the children that has to be respected, and that should come first, regardless of their own maybe differences and whatever is happening between them and in the relationship itself. They won't stray too far. Here you have a situation, I think if the children are, there's four young children, and the youngest, I think you said, is two. So if they can't come to an agreement, and this is where I suppose lawyers will get involved, and I'm not a great fan of family law being dealt with in the family law courts. I think these matters should be dealt with by way of agreement, arrangement, in a mature manner by the parties that are involved. But if that can't be done, and you have a situation where there's no agreement on custody, and one either burying their head or not prepared to cooperate, you then have to make an application to the court to have the access fixed by the court, and then that will be an order that will be in place to be adhered to. And that will prove difficult in practical terms, because if you have a two-year-old and a six or a nine and a ten, you know, there's going to be different requirements on a day-to-day basis, and it mightn't be the best result in the world to have access stipulated times, dates, etc., by a court, which then there's a court order in place and everything that goes with that. And also it polarizes the parties slightly. It could drive them, put a wedge further between them, that it has to be done in that way. I don't think that's the way to resolve it. It has to be done by agreement in a mature manner, and recognising that the welfare of the children are paramount at all times.
Okay, last one, unfortunately, all we have time for. Ask Seamus, is a homemade will okay with two witnesses? Now, I suppose whether it's the best option or not, I'm not sure, but is it okay?
Probably turning away legal work here, but yes, it can be. And for the sake of a very, very small fee, and they could get asked whatever solicitor they use as to what would be involved in relation to cost, but it's usually very modest. And for the peace of mind of that, I think it's a no-brainer that they should use legal representation. Now, people may say, I'd say that, sure, why wouldn't I? But the point is this, that homemade wills can give rise to difficulties. If it's witnessed by two witnesses, yes, it could be perfectly valid and be admitted to probate, and maybe without any difficulties at all. If, for example, one of those witnesses is a beneficiary on the will, which could happen too very easily, you're doing it yourself, you know, and say, right, they're beneficiary, but they're just witnessing the signature. Well, then that gives rise to difficulty, because they can't be a witness and a beneficiary. You can be put forward as an executor. But in a situation like that, that can give rise to a problem. And then you're going to have to involve lawyers. And then the nominal sum that may have been involved in setting the will in place in the first instance will pale into absolute insignificance. Yeah. So for the sake of it, I would get some legal advice in our profession. And the firms all around the county and nationally deal with this on a daily basis. And you will get peace of mind.
But you also retain a copy, question, don't you, Seamus?
Answer the question fairly. If it's done and witnessed, and two independent witnesses in that situation, it could very well be valid, but not really the sensible way to go.
And it could also disappear. I presume a solicitor will retain a copy, no?
Absolutely, yeah.
I think that's quite important.
The practice, usually they would retain the original. Practice is different in this, and there would be a copy furnished to the testator or testatrix at the time they made it. And then they will keep, a firm will keep a wills register. But I have voiced this before, or mentioned it before, or recommended that. I don't understand why there's not some type of central national register for this.
Makes so much difference.
That's a debate maybe for another day. Indeed. But we have mentioned it before.
Seamus, thank you so very much indeed. The physical office is, of course, in Remelton and Letterkenny and online, Seamus.
Yes, we hope so, Greg. Yeah, Donegalsolicitors.ie or just gunn.ie. We should be there.
Have a lovely weekend, Seamus. Seamus Gunn of McLaughlin, Gunn and Co, Remelton and Letterkenny. Thanks as always to him. And thank you to all of you texting in, by the way. The structure of a Friday show is a little bit different, so we will have to carry comments over till Monday. But there's topics there that we didn't get a good chance to discuss, so that'll start Monday off nicely for us. So the weather forecast for today, I can tell you that it's pretty much what it's been all week. Largely dry and cloudy with patchy drizzle and mist. The cloud may be thin. It may thin out at times, allowing some limited brighter intervals to occur. Temperatures 12 to 14 degrees. Right. Roisin joins us on the programme. Now, it's kind of a worrying story. I find it worrying for many reasons, and we'll tease it out. And if you want to see what we're talking about, hop onto the live stream right now. Roisin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you? Because what you came across, a bit shocking to say the least. You were driving home to Falkara from Gweedore last night. What did you come across?
I was driving along home to Falkara on the Glen Road there around 29 last night, travelling home beside the secondary school there in Gweedore. And there's two speed limit poles there, and there was a white or a red thick tape wrapped around the pole so no cars could go through.
Yeah, and we're looking at that right now. Firstly, in terms of cars, I get you. But my word, if a cyclist or a motorcyclist came on that, even at the legal speed limit, God knows what would have happened in that situation.
Or if the emergency services or anything like that there, like, it would be very worrying, like.
Right, so what did you saw it, you stopped, or did you stop? I don't know what I would do in that situation on a dark, lonely road.
It was very dark, and I seen just something across the road. I didn't know what it was. I was very frightened. So I stopped then. I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to get out of the car in case there'd be someone there jumping out or anything at me. It was very frightening.
Yeah, and did you know what is tied across the road? Is it rope?
It's just them plastic tapes?
Yeah.
Then there across the road, it was very thickly wrapped.
Yeah, no, it would have taken someone off a motorbike anyway. There's no doubt about that. So you drove it. You drove through it. Well, fair play to you, not to stop, not to risk anyone coming up to the car. Did you see anyone? Was there any people around?
I didn't see nobody about, but there's two local schools there, so maybe they would have seen something on their cameras.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to look into it because this is really serious. And obviously it's very frightening, but I would be very concerned if a cyclist or a motorcyclist come on that at very short notice. At least with a car, you know, the car would take the brunt of it. But I'm not saying it would necessarily rip someone off the bike, but it would cause really, really serious injury. All right, okay.
And if there was another car coming the other way, it could have been a bad accident or anything.
Yeah.
Could have been worse.
For sure. So this was on the Glen Road. It's an isolated road. It's between Falkara and Gweedore. At least that's the road that you were travelling. Tape across the road. Very, very frightening. You didn't know if you were going to, you know, stop and be assaulted or whatever. Maybe could have happened. Because there was walls there, wasn't there, that people could hide behind? There's a wall there if they so wished.
Yeah, there's a wall there, so I didn't know. I didn't want to get out in case there would be someone there waiting for me.
Yeah, okay.
And there was no one about either, so.
No, I think you did the right thing. Listen, thank you very much for helping us raise awareness of that. And we'll be very interested to hear if anyone else come across that. And I think it should be investigated. I think they do need to look for CCTV footage to see what the story is there, if it's available.
Yeah, Roisin, they really do.
Thanks for your time. Genuinely appreciate it. That's Roisin there. As I say, for those of you watching the stream, you'll be able to see it and get an idea of what it is. It is around about, it looks about chest height. That's what would concern me with a motorbike or what have you. I think if you hit that at 70 or 80 kilometres on a motorbike, you would be taken off the bike, if not the shock of seeing it. But in a car, obviously, you have more protection. But that doesn't mean it couldn't have caused a collision either. What's going on? Who is putting this tape across the road on the Glen Road? Do you know anything about it? Let us know. 086 60 25,000. Your Fianna Fáil guest forgot to mention that one of the reasons why it takes so long to deliver homes is because of decades of under-resourcing of local planning offices on Bord Pleanála and the courts. In addition, bad legislation by successive Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael governments has created a planning system that is complex and adversarial. Thankfully for the Fianna Fáil councillor, Sinn Féin's housing plan is not just a plan to deliver much-needed homes, but also a plan to reform our planning process, including introducing statutory timelines for all stages of the planning and appeals process. Thank you for that. The schools need to start looking at themselves, as the system is not set up for the 30% of children in each class that are neurodivergent. And these children are suffering with school refusal and anxiety. It's like years ago. If you were left-handed, you were made use your right. Interesting. Any more views on that? Greg, I was slapped across the head the very first day I started school. I wasn't even 4 years old. My teacher is still alive. I see her at Mass regularly. That was 1966. My word. How does that make you feel? I just wonder, I don't know what age you are. Well, 1962. You know, you're in your 60s now. Has that affected you? What, when you look at the teacher now, what's your emotion? Is it anger? Is it, do you understand it was different times? I'm not saying that's an excuse. I don't know. What's your feelings now? American voters, two main concerns with the economy, immigration and foreign policy. We have the same issues here, and I might add immigration to that. Our young people are leaving home, striking up relationships in places like Australia and never returning. You're right, Greg, if someone said he would sack the HSE officials, he'd top the poll. I genuinely believe that. I'm not saying they should do that. I'm not saying the HSE officials need to be sacked. I'm just saying, you know, we're seeing what's happening with defective concrete at the moment. That, you know, we know the players in it. You know, you've got your local representatives. You've got Dara O'Brien. But then there's the housing agency and the Department of Housing and people making decisions in that area. I'm not saying, again, that they should be sacked. But if someone came in and said, you know, what's happening so far? What's happening to frustrate homeowners? Enough is enough. When we go in, we're going to clear out those who are responsible for that. Again, I'm not saying you can do it or should do it, but that's how you would top the poll, because that's what people want now. They're not, or it could be wrong. Listen, that's just what I get from people. Let me know what your views are on 086 60 25,000.